Welcome back, All About Reality folks. I'm Matt Goodwin, along with my venerable co-host Luke Patrick, as always. Last night, we recorded an episode of All About Reality with two special guests from the Ball Blast podcast, Kate and Michelle Majouk. Here it is.
Anyways, let's talk a little fake football with you. First off, Kate, Roto-Viz, Roto-World, you two are on the hosts of the Ball Blast podcast. On the Ross Tucker Podcast Network. Listen to the episode where you joined Ross, and that was a lot of hijinks and hilarity. That was pretty fun when he finally had the epiphany that figuring out, you two.
Some good radio.
Yeah. Summarizing the course of the most awkward moments of my life all within this couple of minutes.
I apologize. We're going to talk football now. Luke's going to take the wheel and get going here. I think that what we wanted to focus on mostly was NFL free agency and just kind of all the movement, the crazy trades that have happened, everything else, and providing a little bit of levity and fun in these difficult times. So Luke, you want to start us off?
I would love to. I actually want to hear from you guys about two wide receivers that I've never been able to get on board with, but have been making news in the last couple of days.
Don't say DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, no. Nuke is one of my great loves in my life, so I will not say so. These guys are lower level ones, and I'm just trying to figure out if they merit an RSO GM going after them with kind of low level contracts, or if it's the kind of player that you're going to pursue in a dynasty format. And that's Rashad Perriman moving to his new team, the New York Jets, on a 1-year deal, and Robbie Anderson moving on a 2-year deal to the revamped Carolina Panthers. Are either one of those wide receivers something that you kind of are going to take a flyer on or make some moves for at this point in the dynasty offseason?
Never. Nope. Not touching.
So I will say, so they've got, both of them have a couple of strikes against them. So each of them has the caveat of the fact that they are joining new teams on relatively short contracts. So you don't have that long-term relationship, and the fact that, Adam Gase, he just got through his first season with the Jets. There's still a lot of moving pieces in that offense, I think. And even on defense, I'm not are we going to see Jamal Adams? We don't really know. We've just heard a bunch of speculation. So I feel like that team still doesn't have its true identity yet. And the same for Carolina. We're seeing Rule bring in all of his old buddies, all old pals, getting the band back together. But what is the goal of that? I have no idea. And I don't know, how are they going to mesh? I don't know.
Robbie Anderson has always been, the deep guy, the wide receiver that's going to create most of his production through those deep targets. And Teddy Bridgewater's just not that type of quarterback. Not to say he can throw the deep ball. He can be accurate. It's just not really his game. He prefers to do, those shorter targets. So I'm just not sure if Robbie Anderson really fits in fantasy-wise in that offense. I do think he can bring something to the team as an actual NFL wide receiver and help out that offense. But for fantasy, I'm staying away. Rashad Perriman has really never been anything for us in the fantasy world, except for the last few weeks of the season when Mike Evans and Chris Godwin were hurt. Him going to the Jets. I mean, Robbie Anderson was barely anything last year with Sam Darnold. I don't really think Perriman's a step up from him. So that's someone I'm not excited about. I'm not going to care about throwing a flyer at him.
I do think Rashad Perriman is the step up for Robbie Anderson. That's just me. Okay. But I agree. Perriman was definitely a beneficiary of the style offense that they were running in Tampa Bay. The fact that Jameis Winston just chucked the ball up into the air and let his wide receivers grab it or not, or this opposing safety, whoever gets it. But I do think Rashad Perriman is a talented wide receiver. I like how he looked in Cleveland, but I don't see the system there.
Very good. But Goody, before I kick it back to you, Kate, I want to ask, with the Robbie Anderson piece and talking about him in reality, for fantasy purposes, does he unlock or make better the situation for either DJ Moore or Curtis Samuel, receivers who I have liked in the past and receivers that do get a lot more love from the fantasy and dynasty community? Do you think he adds to their value, detracts from their value, and you can take a shot at either one before Michelle can handle the other for us.
So I think definitely the beneficiary is DJ Moore. I'm hoping this will get him a little bit more work outside the slot. Robbie Anderson's always going to play on the outside. He's going to be the deep threat, which, like, really, that's what Curtis Samuel tried to do. I didn't do it super well. Like, nearly led all wide receivers in air yards last season, and he didn't produce. I think he had, 650 yards?
Yeah, he didn't have
somewhere right around there, and he just couldn't make production out of that. So my hope is that, you know, DJ Moore will benefit from that slot work, but also maybe Curtis Samuel is going to find a better role within that offense to utilize his talents in a better way.
Yeah, I think Curtis Samuel's value pretty much goes in the dumpster at this point. After the season, people were still a little bit high on him because of all those air yards that were empty because they could blame it on Kyle Allen or Will Greer. Well, then Teddy Bridgewater came, and even though he's not a long passer, people say he can be accurate, so they're still excited about Curtis Samuel for some reason. And then Robbie Anderson comes, and all of a sudden it's, oh, don't worry about the air yards. Now he'll have more targets from the slot. Like, no, you can't have it all the different ways. There's not that many targets to go around with CMC there. I wouldn't touch Curtis Samuel even in the very last round of my draft. I think his value completely dies. In redraft, I should say. In the very last round of my dynasty, maybe. Yeah. And then for Perriman, I do think that helps out Crowder a bit. They could have definitely added a guy across from him that would have been more of a target hog, and Perriman's not going to be that guy. He's going to be more the deep threat that opens up the offense. So I still think Crowder can be that PPR monster that we're used to seeing. So I still am down with Crowder to be that safe PPR player.
There you go, Goody. Your boy Crowder just, like, keep throwing nickels in the slot to him there, right, buddy?
Yeah, Crowder's a guy I've always liked, but I seem to have a hard time trusting putting him in the lineup routinely, just the way my team is constructed. So I do like Crowder as a player. I think everything that Kate and Michelle said here was, like, spot on. I mean, kind of going back to Curtis Samuel's Ohio State days, he kind of had a Percy Harvin-like skill set. So in real life, if the Panthers can figure that out potentially, and ideally for everyone in the Dynasty community, not do that at DJ Moore's expense while still kind of peppering in some Robbie Anderson targets, then maybe it can all work out. But I think that he, at least in Reality Sports Online, I think that Curtis Samuel was the kind of off-season darling where people were kind of buying in on those intermediate level $12, $15 million a year contracts, hoping that they were ahead of the curve a couple of years ago. And I think those, you know, based on everything we just said, I think that is going to be really hard to sell at this point. So I think that ties in well. I mean, a guy I personally am curious what you two think. I was sticking with the wide receivers is the move of Emmanuel Sanders to the Saints.
You know, I really like that move for real life football. I think I like the move a little bit more for real life football than I do for fantasy production in particular. I like it for Michael Thomas. I think he could use another solid veteran on the outside. I mean, Tre'Quan Smith is maybe still going to do something, I guess, possibly, heading into the third season. That's a breakout year. No, Michelle's shaking her head. No. But it gives him somebody to line up outside. Just gives him something to steal coverage. You can't leave Emmanuel Sanders open. Then you have Jared Cook. It definitely, it spreads your receiving core a little bit, which I think is important.
I actually love this for Emmanuel Sanders. I wasn't thrilled with him on the 49ers just because there were enough targets to go around. But I think Drew Brees can spread the ball around. Michael Thomas saw, 180 targets last year? It's not because, listen, Michael Thomas is the best wide receiver in the league. I'll give him that. But it's not just because he's such a great wide receiver. It's because he's the only guy there. Like, you just brought up Tre'Quan Smith. Like, he is not a thing. And that was Drew Brees' second option.
His second option,
besides Kamara, of course,
was Kamara. Yes,
and Jared Cook, who's 900 years old. But I think giving him a...
So was Emmanuel Sanders.
But he's a really good wide receiver. I really like Emmanuel Sanders. I think this is great for Drew Brees' fantasy value going into 2020. I do think Emmanuel Sanders will be inconsistent in fantasy, but you can definitely plug him in when you have injuries or you have a bye week. He can be a good flex play. And I don't think I heard Michael Thomas too much. Maybe his targets go down by 15, but I think maybe the targets can be better then because they're a little bit more open. Both Cortland Sutton and Deebo Samuel were better when Emmanuel Sanders was across from them than when he wasn't there. They actually benefited from that. So I think Michael Thomas could do the same.
Yeah, and from Luke, from a context standpoint, Reality Sports Online leagues across the average of all leagues, Sanders going for about 4 years, $20 million, so about $5.5 million a year. I think I'd be willing to take a spin on that, especially like if he was kind of a plug-in flex or something of that variety. What do you think?
I think I'm out there just because of my affinity for younger wide receivers. And I love Emmanuel Sanders, and I think he's actually like a really fun wide receiver to watch in the league. But like all the idea of wide receivers moving teams, unless they have a significant upgrade at quarterback, which you could argue that it is at this point, or potentially a path to greater volume, which I'm not sure is there on the Saints. Like, I just think there's too many ifs that have to hit for him to be good. And I'd actually be more in on, like, throwing a dart at Traquan Smith at a much lower price point, to be honest. Like, that's where I would go hunting for value at this point.
That's good insight. I guess let's transition on that for a second then. So with that thought, with all the quarterback moves, obviously, you know, the Buccaneers are getting Brady. Like, we know Godwin and Evans are studs. The potential uptick for O.J. Howard, which we could talk about later, but like talk about some of the other quarterback moves and what you think those would be like for the receivers that are in those systems. So i.e. Rivers going to the Colts, Nick Foles going to the Bears, things like that.
So for Nick Foles, the Bears, a lot of people have been waiting for Allen Robinson to get a better quarterback over Trubisky. I just say, like, slow down on that, because sometimes a terrible quarterback doesn't know how to make multiple reads. And I think that's Trubisky. So he looks for Allen Robinson and passes him the ball no matter what. Allen Robinson had 150 targets. He had a very good year. I don't really know what else you want. I don't think plugging in a different quarterback necessarily makes him a better wide receiver. If the quarterback's better, then they're going to actually spread the ball around because they're a better quarterback and isn't terrible, you know? So, and maybe Nick Foles isn't that. So I think we're still okay. I think Nick Foles might not be that great quarterback that can just, you know, look down the field and spread the ball around. I think he'll get Allen Robinson the ball and they'll be fine. I just still don't see an upgrade there.
Nick Foles does do his best work, though, when he's trying to
RPOs, man.
Take another guy or take over another guy's job. So yeah. We'll see like a lot of progress from Nick Foles this year, and we're going to see the most productive offense of all time. But
Nick Foles really loves Zach Ertz, just like every, you know, quarterback for the Eagles should.
So are you touting Jimmy Graham at this point?
No. I'm saying, like, I don't really know what's there. I really want to love Anthony Miller, but the change at quarterback does make me nervous about that.
I do wonder, though, like, the signing of Jimmy Graham, what does that mean? Like, I know Trey Burton hasn't been a thing. But like, he was super injured all of last season.
And they were on the Eagles together, right?
So yeah, and like, so is this the sign that
practice, like, squad hero, right?
Yeah.
And like, made it work. So like, is this the coming together of two magical things? If Trey Burton is finally healthy, like, would you, like, I'm just saying, a late round flyer in your dynasty startups?
I don't know. How many years can we keep holding on?
I just love that the four of us are looking to magical things as Nick Foles and Trey Burton. Things have gone dramatically.
Saying.
They've gone wrong in our life. Like, that we've reached this
We're point. Under quarantine. The money's
actually, to this point, and for all four of you, It seems like the three of you are all on team. Like Foles is definitely starting day one. Is that an accurate perception for like
a reason? I'm not. I think Trubisky actually goes in the camp and he wins a job and they give it to him. But that money does talk a little bit. Nick Foles is going to be making a lot of money. But I don't know. I just don't see Trubisky losing the job to Nick Foles.
Here, okay, so like there's two things that talk. So it's the money for Nick Foles. But it's the fact that, like, you traded up to get Mitch Trubisky, and you have looked pretty dumb from, like, the start.
And so it's
you
not like Trubisky's yourself. Making nothing. Like, Trubisky's still making $9 million.
Right. And, like, so I wonder about the fact that, like, maybe Trubisky does win the job, maybe Trubisky starts the season, but how short is his leash going to be?
Yeah, I mean, first off, if I'm a Bears fan, and I have plenty of good friends who are Bears fans, I just can't believe that the compounding of the stupidity kind of goes on and on, you know. So fine, you trade up for Trubisky, draft him ahead of some guys who've had a ton of success. Then you pay for Jimmy Graham, you trade for Foles and you know, $20 million. And Foles' contract next year isn't so bad. They can get out of it with $5 million roster bonus that hits, you know, which is already hit practically, I think. But the fact that now that Cam Newton is basically a free agent, I think the fan base would be pining for something like that. I think that's frustrating. In terms of whether Foles, I think it's as close to a 50-50 shot in training camp. And I think it's something that Foles, you know, ultimately wins by a narrow margin, but Foles does have a lengthy injury history too. And then maybe Mitch has a chance to kind of come in and do something in that vein. I don't know, but the other quarterback I mentioned kind of in this was Philip Rivers and his many, many children.
So many kids.
So
it's a shame they're getting broken up during this time period where you can't gather in groups of 10 or more. It's like really frustrating.
Yeah, seriously. So,
they have to quarantine themselves in separate wings of the mansion.
So true.
Poor kids. I think what's interesting about Philip Rivers going to Indy is that all these years, I feel like Keenan Allen and T.Y. Hilton have basically been the same exact wide receiver. They're just a possession wide receiver. They don't score a ton of touchdowns, but they're very good players.
Reliable.
They're reliable, kind of inconsistent for fantasy in a way, but they're still very good at the same time. At the end of the year, their final ranking always ends up pretty solid, but throughout the year, it's not fun to own them. But I do think T.Y. Hilton will take over the Keenan Allen role exactly and can be very good with Philip Rivers.
It does make me wonder what we're going to see maybe from Jack Doyle. I'm hopeful that this will be sort of Jack Doyle season. We've seen him have some issues with health.
Kate loves all the guys that never pan out.
I love the garbage man.
But there's always hope for him.
I know, because, like, you know what? The beauty about it is that I could trade a, like, late third for one of these guys, and he could carry me through the season because, you know what? When it comes to, like, particularly the tight end landscape, you don't have to hit hard to hit. Yeah. Like, a startable tight end is not super hard to acquire. It's finding that tight end that maybe transcends multiple seasons that's hard. But if you're looking for, like, a one-year glory play, it's really not that hard. Just play, you know, play your cards right. And that's what I'm sort of looking for because I feel like I do take you know, I don't know. I divert myself from the tight end position. I don't trust it. I never trust a tight end.
Right. So Kate, I am so with you there in that I find myself diving pretty deep because of that. Like I just don't get an anxiety if I don't have a tight end. It just doesn't worry me. Like I feel like something is barely better than nothing in that slot. And so, Goody, this is my take. Goody's already been on record this year, this offseason, talking about Gesicki out of Miami as like a guy that he's going after late. I'm going to go even later. Mo Alie-Cox is my guy, but I think I actually, for the same reasons you just articulated, Kate, I think he's a little bit more Rivers style. He's like a former basketball player, all joking aside on that, but he just like goes up and gets it. Like I think he might finally be something in this far into his career. He might be one of those guys that comes out of nowhere and just wrecks things for you.
Well, I want to say it wasn't 2019. I want to say it was 2018 when you looked at tight end yards per route run. I want to say Mo Alie-Cox, he did not run many routes.
Yeah, so that's
very all small. All four of them were very low.
Yeah.
Very small sample size, but I do want to say he was top five in yards per route run for 2018.
There you go.
Like, it's Mo Alie-Cox.
I have been picking him up very late in dynasty drafts. Or
he's on waivers. And
he is on waivers and some, yeah. So go get him.
Yeah, I do own him wherever he was on waivers. Or I can pick him up in my startup super late. I don't have a ton of trust in it, but it's fun to have him on there just in case.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that can be the first off your roster if it's not playing out early in the season. But he's,
yeah,
for sure. Goody. And for all of you, now, you talked about good quarterbacks. Every year in Superflex, and certainly last year more than most, we've seen quarterbacks rise from relative obscurity to, like, do things for us. And this year, there's all sorts of, like, these weird options. We mentioned Foles, Tyrod Taylor's another. Brian Hoyer has, like, resurrected, like, coming out of nowhere.
For the fifth time.
Yeah, we've got these kind of ambiguous starters with kind of regime changes or kind of weird vibes from their coaching staff. So we have Kyle Allen going to Washington and into, like, backup / mentor / challenge. The rookie incumbent, and then you have Marcus Mariota behind Derek Carr. Are any of those guys that you're going to throw either, like, a late round dynasty or a low level contract at in super flex leagues in order to, like, just say, hey, this is something worth keeping? Like, I'm going to burn a roster spot on one of those guys.
I think I'm out on Kyle Allen. I will say that. Honestly, I don't like the move, but not because I don't like the move. But I don't like what that tells me about just the locker room and your confidence in your quarterback. Like, I feel like that's bad juju. I want nothing to do with that, because sometimes that sort of melodrama can just, it's bad. It doesn't work out, because it's a distraction. So I'm not dipping my toes into those waters, but I am sending some feelers out there for the Cam Newton owners while he's still in limbo, while he is unsigned. I can use my bargaining chip of, like, dude's not even signed. I might not even get a starting quarterback. You know, like,
right.
That's a bargaining chip in my corner. So, like, I'm throwing offers out there for James Winston. I'm throwing offers out there for Cam, because I do think that whether or not it's game one, I think they're going to be starting some games this year.
Yeah, I'm super flex. I have been playing super flex a lot lately. I very much enjoy it. I do understand how it makes more sense in one quarterback, but I think it's gone too far the other way.
I want to do a modified super flex.
I don't want to ever be in a league where Teddy Bridgewater is being played every week. Like, that's a 9-point quarterback starter. You can get that many points from Jamison Crowder.
But
so,
also,
I'm not trading 3 firsts for Teddy Bridgewater.
But also, like, that's the same league where you would have had to take in Teddy Bridgewater in, like, the 6th round.
Yeah, it's
that's
just, like,
not okay.
His value is way too high right now if you want to go trade for him. It's like, okay, well, whatever, I can just plug in any wide receiver that has a good matchup that week, and he's probably going to outscore you. So that's how I feel about the quarterbacks you brought up with Kyle Allen or even, like, a Dwayne Haskins or someone like that. Like, no, I don't really want to plug them in. A guy that I'm looking at this year, super, super late, that no one seems to care about is Gardner Minshew.
Which is weird, because he was all the hotness last year.
And maybe because I did my 2 startups this offseason before Nick Foles got traded, maybe he's going a little bit higher now, but he's still going one of the latest starting quarterbacks. And he was just as good as Daniel Jones and Kyler Murray this year for fantasy, who's fantastic. He averaged more passing yards, more passing touchdowns, less interceptions, more first downs, and only 10 less rushing yards per game than Kyler Murray. But all of those more, and then the rushing yards was less. So he was better in every single category, and everyone is obsessed with Kyler Murray this year. No one's talking about Gardner Minshew. There are still a lot of people talking about Daniel Jones, which he was just as good at as well. But you can get Gardner Minshew, what, 5, 6, 7 rounds later than Daniel Jones, and probably a good 10 rounds later than Kyler Murray. So
he's definitely the value, and I think it stems from the lack of draft stock.
That's very well said, guys. And so Goody, do you think Michelle's right in RSO? Like, Minshew in Superflex leagues is going to be one of the guys that's actually available at auction. We don't have a ton of contract data on him because he wasn't on a rookie contract. He is these kind of like flash in a pan out of nowhere. Is he going to be a value at auction this year, or is he going to be one of these players that gets a massive contract dumped on him just because there aren't that many quarterback options available?
League life cycle dependent, I would say, and how deep and how many teams are in your league. If it's a league like the podcast league, 16 teams, yeah, people are going to pay for him because he's available. I think in other leagues, you can certainly pluck some value. I think I don't know what that looks like. I guess maybe in a 10, 12 team league, you may be able to get a guy like that for, you know, $10 million a year or so.
Very good. And for our dynasty listeners, to translate to like a 12 team league, a $10 million player would be like a seventh, eighth rounder, like Kate and Michelle were talking about. And so Goody, in a 16 team where everybody needs a quarterback, is he going to crack 20, 25 million?
If he's the only one, or there's one or two, and teams have more situation than that, absolutely. If not, I think he's at least cracking 20.
So there you go. This is, and that speaks, I think, a little bit to your point too, Michelle. Like in Superflex, the pendulum has swung the other way. Like these quarterbacks are fetching a lot of money, just like in real life. Like even if we're not like a quarterback that any of us want to go watch play, where they're like, well, we still need them in that Superflex spot, so we're gonna pay them a lot of money. So.
But I think in fantasy, we think we need them, even though we can plug in a pretty like average, even below average wide receiver or running back, and most likely they're going to score more than that quarterback. Like think about last year throwing in Andy Dalton, and sometimes he'd score negative points or like 2 points, or Mason Rudolph or Duck Hodges, like in a super flex, those guys were getting played. And a lot of
you paid your entire fab budget and
you paid a whole $100 and in the beginning of the season that looked nice, and by midseason you were getting like nothing from him, and you just keep playing two quarterbacks even though you could plug in someone else much better. So I think we just need to like wrap our heads around that. Yes, quarterbacks are important at a certain point, but once you hit a level like quarterback 20, just plug in a wide receiver.
Right. And I think you bring up an interesting point there. And I think the way around that is just being creative and customizing what your league scoring system is in a way.
Yeah. So,
like our podcast league that we do, quarterbacks, if they screw up, it's pretty punitive. If you throw a pick six, it's worth -9.
No, oh my God.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, of course there's points for completions, incompletions, passing. He actually finished as QB6, but that was just like supreme first downs and yardage and everything else. But I had him last year, and I was getting clowned every time he threw a pick six or 5 interceptions in a game. And the whole chat room was just going crazy. But I think that's kind of the fun element of it. But if you're in just some garden variety 10 or 12 team league, you two are absolutely right. It's the quarterback value, especially once you hit that hop-off point, gets kind of crazy. So I think that's a pretty good stopping point to take a pause for our sponsors.
Are you a small business owner, entrepreneur, or startup executive who's looking to take your business to the next level but feels daunted and inhibited by financial unknowns? If so, check out our friends at Simply More Money. Simply More Money, they help small businesses, entrepreneurs, and executives create profitability scenarios and plans for their ideas and business decisions. In doing so, they significantly reduce the unknowns business owners and entrepreneurs face, drastically increase the probability of success, and minimize money wasted on trying things out. If you fail to plan, then you plan to fail, and the profitability of a business is no different. Mapping profitability across multiple scenarios allows small business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives to focus on the creative ideas that bring their businesses to life. If you are interested in learning more or want to sign up for updates and a newsletter, go to www.simplymoremoney.com. As an added bonus, if you mention this podcast, All About Reality, when contacting Simply More Money, then you'll receive a free 2-hour working session. Generate more money. Move forward with confidence. Simply More Money helps businesses do both. So if you want to turn your business fantasy into reality, go to www.simplymoremoney.com to get started.
Well, everyone, in these dark times, we've been talking about like the bottom ends of rosters. And so now I think we should move to a couple fun and exciting players. Kate, Michelle, are there any players that this season, for this season alone, because RSO has the element of the dynasty piece, but it also, like, the rosters that are pushing all in to win now are playable much more like a season-to-season fantasy league. Can you give us some insights? You dropped an article on RotoWorld talking about offenses you're buying into. You can draw from there if you want. And everybody should go check that article out and read it. Or just, is there like a player that like our GMs should absolutely go get their hands on, and you think this, they're just going to make a massive run for us, give us a little light in the darkness as we all like sequester at home?
So this wasn't actually a highlight on my article today, but I feel like I need to say it because I've made several offers for this guy, and I've never seeked this man in fantasy before, ever. I'm going for Tom Brady in any league where I'm contending for the 2020 season, and I am willing to pay. I'm willing to pay for him, and I've never been able to say that about Tom Brady before. But I think the situation is sort of a perfect storm. Last season, we saw sort of a fall off. People questioned, is Tom Brady done? But you also had to look at the offense and what he was working with. I am a Steelers fan. I will never forgive Tom Brady for the terrible things he has done to me. But like I respect the man. He's the best quarterback of all time, and I don't think he's lost the step that we all think he has, but I do think that he's certainly somebody to be undervalued because there's that question mark in people's brains. Is he done, or is this the redemption tour? Like, he has all the tools to do it, and you have Bruce Arians, who isn't necessarily inclined to run the football. Last year, we didn't really see a drop-off in terms of pass attempts for Tom Brady, so he's still willing to throw the ball. He doesn't have a lot of, like, dump off targets, so you know that's going to benefit Chris Godwin. He's going to be able to get the ball to Mike Evans. Is like he? Mike Evans is not dead.
Is he?
Folks,
is he?
Buy him. He's 25 years old.
Okay, I don't. Yes, buy Mike Evans because Tom Brady will be retired next year. But this year is going to suck.
But are you buying Tom Brady for this season?
No. He's 43. He's done.
He is not. Okay. No, he's done. I'm buying Tom Brady in every league where I'm contending because he is super cheap.
He'll be able to get the ball to Chris Godwin and to someone else.
Yeah, and Chris Godwin can handle it.
But if Mike Evans has 1,100 yards this year, I will be shocked. I will choke 3 years in a row.
Put it on the board.
Okay. We shut down it.
All right.
I'm also buying, and this is another guy that I haven't touched in recent years, I'm buying Drew Brees, and I think it has to do with the
900-year-old men.
I know, but, like, trust me.
No, I like the Drew Brees ones.
I trust my gut, sort of. Like, I've always been very weary of Drew Brees' home road splits. I do think that this might be the year where I buy into him very low because he is very near to the end of his career. If he wins the Super Bowl this year, I think he pieces out very quickly on his white horse.
Isn't it so weird? I feel like if Drew Brees won the Super Bowl 3 years ago, he would have pieced out.
Oh, yeah.
He but it's just like it's so weird that he's still here.
Yeah, he's just hanging in. He's just
until he finally wins
it. Well, I think it's really hard to leave that team when you like you've always had a big powerhouse offense, but I think they're finally starting to in the past few years put the defensive piece together. So it's not the entire game is not resting on Drew Brees' arm, which I think it's helpful. Like it balances out the game. But he's another guy that I think I'm gonna go for and hopefully he falls because of his age and the retirement speculation. And I'm gonna play him at home. When he was at home, he averaged almost 31 points per game. Away, I think it was like 19, so I'm not gonna play him.
So let's talk about this then. On Fantasy Pros, Drew Brees, if you narrow it for the recent free agency news and Cam's release and everything, and just narrow it to some of the more accurate experts, Drew Brees is sitting right behind Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan, and Aaron Rodgers. Like, they're the three immediately ahead of him in the rankings. Mm-hmm. Would you take him over any of those three?
I'd probably take him above Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Which is kind of like, it's absolutely crazy to say. I'd probably take him above Aaron Rodgers. I'd play him when he's at home, and then I would draft a late round guy, maybe like Gardner Minshew or somebody else that I can fill in when he's on the road, when I'm not as trustworthy that he's actually going to be able to make the
play. You just warmed my Viking heart. Anything that casts throw shade at Aaron Rodgers makes me happy. and then on this level, same question though with Tom Terrific. The three ahead of him are Matt Stafford, Baker Mayfield, and Ryan Tannehill. Would you take Tom over any of those three?
I would take him above Ryan Tannehill.
Tannehill was
and Baker, fantastic. Actually.
I would take him maybe above Baker.
Okay. All right. I like it.
Matthew Stafford, I think, is late round gold. I feel like everybody forgets him. And I do think the fact that it was a back injury in particular that took him out of this year is going to benefit a lot of fantasy owners. Like, it was a fracture. It wasn't a disc situation or anything, which can be more of a long-term injury. It's always been my understanding, like, once the fracture heals, he's good. As long as it does heal completely, that he should be able to play back to his full ability, and the back problems shouldn't.
I'm realizing now, a project I stayed up till 1:30 in the morning last night on quarterbacks for last year, about how many. So it wasn't that hard of a project, but I went through every single week and put their finish every single week and then averaged them out. And Ryan Tannehill was fantastic. So it wasn't just the scoring, it was actually fantasy finish. But anyways, it's deleted and it's nowhere to be found on my computer. So I'm happy I stayed up so late. I was going to pull it up to bring up the information, but it's nowhere to be found. So fun time.
It sounds like it was really good information.
Yeah,
we appreciate your preparedness for the podcast. Yeah. You definitely have done your homework, and I'm sure a former guest, Bob Lung, will probably talk about Ryan Tannehill's consistency. So to back up your point or whatever, when that consistency guide comes out, I'm sure
we'll expect to see. Very random that you bring that up. We have his consistency guide sitting on our kitchen table right now, and I don't know why it's there. It's literally just sitting on our kitchen table. I can't figure out where it came from, but God, Bob's with us right now.
Yeah, there you go. I feel like Matt Waldman's always with us. Like, I'm coming through 500 pages. I feel like I'm going to Friday night services or something, right?
Yeah.
So anyways, can you talk what of the running back moves that have happened, Gurley going to the Falcons, Gordon going to the Broncos, Devontae Freeman, who knows, maybe you have a prediction on where he's going. Is there anything in there that you like as a creative, or do you think the best move is the one that hasn't happened yet, and that is whatever Tampa decides to do at running back?
Can I say my favorite move that isn't necessarily a running back changing teams? It's Kenyon Drake
staying with Arizona. I was going to say that.
Kenyon Drake staying with Arizona is my favorite move, especially since they got rid of David Johnson. They shipped him off to Houston. Kenyon Drake with Arizona was fantastic. He was on pace, his games in Arizona, on pace for 1,671 total yards, 57 receptions, and 16 total touchdowns. Now, he did have 4 touchdowns in one game.
I'm well aware of that.
Yes. So if we just use his pace, that would have put him as a running back 2 this season. But since he had 4 touchdowns in one game, I wanted to kind of take that away a little bit. If you take away 4 touchdowns, he's still the running back 3 in PPR this year. Take away 8 touchdowns, he still would have been the running back 6 this year with the pace he was on. So that would be just 8 total touchdowns
that we're
including for next year. I think he's going to be amazing. For some reason, Miami didn't want to use him. He did not have more than 13 carries in any single game in 2018 at all, or 2019 with Miami. Very first game with Arizona, he gets 15 carries and 4 targets. So, and then after that, he averaged 15.9 carries a game, 4.4 targets a game. If he stays healthy all year, I literally don't know how he's not a running back five, top five running back.
Oh, I love Kenyon Drake, and I'm starting to think
you traded him to me yesterday.
I don't want to talk about it. I gave. What do you guys think of my trade? So
it's terrible.
Let's hear it. I don't want to be influenced.
So
I gave her David Montgomery and Deontay Johnson, and I got Kenyon Drake.
Is it? And this is Dynasty, I presume, since you're making a trade in this offseason. And no keeper rules or anything. You keep these people in perpetuity, basically.
Yep. It's just full Dynasty.
Yeah.
Contracts, you're mine forever. Deontay Johnson is mine for the rest of his life.
Andrew.
Okay. Luke, what do you think?
It seems like the kind of deal that I would offer, knowing the heart of the person I was trading with. And if they were a Steeler fan, I think that may elevate Deontay Johnson, who is a fine player and a good guy. But I would say, like, that is actually the kind of trade that I would offer, knowing my trade partner a little bit. And I tend to love the Drake side of it, because I think the statistics that Michelle was just dropping are really excellent. And I also want to say that some of the formation information that's come out about how rarely defenses are allowed to stack the box against a running back and even key on a running back in that Arizona system makes me really optimistic about how he's going to be used.
Oh, he's going
to be sick. I love Kenyon Drake. That deal did hurt me. But I will say, in that same league, I also have Saquon Barkley and Austin Eckler. So
yeah, you're going to be fine. Yeah. The worst thing ever is going to be if we go into the draft and Arizona wants to bulk up their offense even more and they take like a J.K. Dobbins or a
Taylor
and just destroy Kenyon Drake's value, that would really hurt.
But I will say, I think my prediction, and this is a move that I think I would really like for fantasy, maybe I'll go make some offers for this guy. It's Devonta Freeman. If he ended up in Tampa Bay, I feel like
he would already be there right now, though.
No. Okay. Tom Brady's assembling his entire army right now.
he's going straight Captain America. He's like, Avengers assemble. Let's go, guys.
Seriously, like he's extremely busy. He's playing GM at the moment. He's recruiting. I don't think Devonta Freeman is a very highly sought asset at this point. So I do think that he would fit sort of that role of the guy that's able to run the ball, but also super proficient pass catcher, fits the system of the quarterback that you brought in terms of giving him a guy to dump off the ball to, you know, to create those yards after the catch. Like, that's what Devonta Freeman's always been good at. Like, let's bring him back to the RB1 of yesteryear. Let's bring him back to old school Devonta Freeman. Let him ball, because that's what he did, and that's when he was the most successful.
I will say too, I do think the least risky piece in that equation, and one that makes sense for our listeners and our SOGMs to like think about, because he's typically on a cheap rookie contract in Reality Sports Online, is David Montgomery. Like, this time last year, he was the belle of the ball in many people's minds. He landed in a pretty good spot, and the Bears don't have any high draft capital in real life, so he's not getting replaced by one of these young like stud running backs. And so I do think that backfield is mostly his, with Tariq Cohen split, like, sprinkled in. So I do think that actually you're going to get value returned. I don't think there's ever going to be a week where you're nervous to start David Montgomery.
And I think even when, like, the thing that I like about David Montgomery is that it wasn't a shortage of volume in 2019. The offense just sucked. I'm sorry. I don't know what in the world Matt Nagy was doing. It looked like he was trying to do some, like, complicated math problem on the chalkboard, and then he forgot how to do it, like, while he was up there in front of the class. Like, it just didn't work out. He tried to overcomplicate things. It didn't flow. It didn't look natural. And I think it really just he shot himself in the foot just with the play calling and all that. So I do hope that if they simplify the offense a little bit, I think David Montgomery does have a chance to be a little bit more efficient in his workload.
All right, goody. We're getting close to the end here. Do you have any questions to wrap it up for our fine analysts while we still have them in front of us?
I want to hear a little bit more about, you got an event going on this weekend with Sam Holt. I just wanted to give you an opportunity to share with our listeners what that's about. And one of your guests just came on our podcast and hyped Deontay Johnson is kind of her pickup of the offseason too. So I think that trade, like, I think this year, the next 2 years may balance out more in Michelle's favor, and down the line, you know, maybe going Kate's way if, you know, if David Montgomery turns into the bell cow that he was drafted to be. But anyways, take it away about the event this weekend.
Yeah, so on Saturday, we're doing a Ladies of Football live stream with Sam Holt, Kate and I. We're all hosting it. And so far, we have Stefania Bell from ESPN, Liz Loza, Cynthia Freeland, Colleen Wolf, and Jen Piacenti. Coming on to join us, and we're just going to talk football, drink some wine, just have some fun, because we're all stuck inside doing basically nothing. So let's bring some joy in, and hopefully we can have some entertainment, some laughter. It's going to be a very chill event. They're going to be coming on probably for about 20 minutes apiece. Hopefully we'll be adding more. Oh, we got Melissa Jacobs of the Football Girl podcast. I love her, but yes, she said she would join yesterday as well, so she'll be on.
If you can't tune in for the whole thing, though, I definitely recommend tuning in towards the end after all the wine, because I don't know how things are going to shake out. But
yeah, we're going to be a lot of fun. Well, I don't even know yet for sure, stepmom Lauren, but I'm going to make her come on, Lauren Carpenter, stepmom Lauren. But probably towards the end, because the more wine in us, the funnier it gets.
Yeah.
But we're blast when we're all drinking together, so I'm gonna make her come on. It'll be a fun time just talking football and relaxing, and we'll do it on the live stream. So I'm not sure exactly what platform we're doing it on yet, but you can find it on our Twitter account. If you go to @ballblastem, it'll be live on there, or either at Sam Holt, Samantha R. Holt, or FF Ball Blast.
Yeah, and just so you guys know, we did model this after the Fantasy Red Shirts, who just did a live stream event last weekend, who, like, they had, I don't know if you guys watched, like, the most monster lineup of all time, like, yeah. And Marcus, like, they had literally everybody.
That's awesome.
Maybe with the exception, Matthew Berry wasn't on, right? No. He's the only guy that's, like, in my head that I can think that didn't join. What a jerk. But, like, it was just incredible to see these guys, so casually talking with these people that, like, we look up to, admire, like, we want to know how they've done what they've done so we can all mimic it. It's like watching a baby bird fly out of a nest. Like, it's so exciting to watch. I don't know. But definitely check out their work too. And they, I do think, have their live stream from what they did. I want to say they were on for like 4 hours. They have that over on YouTube for the Fantasy Red Shirts. So definitely check that out.
Well, you guys have been super gracious with your time to us as well. And I think that's just a wonderful note to end on. Goody and I are not shy about being cheesy about what this community means to people. And it has been a lot of fun, as a lot of us are forced to spend time in our homes to still have people to reach out to. So thank you for joining us here and giving a little love to the Reality Sports Online community. And absolutely, they should go look for what you're doing. And you know, the sad part, Goody, is whenever I've asked this question before, it's always been just meant to be a tongue-in-cheek hypothetical of our guests. But we really face a world in which football might not come back in the fall, like, immediately. And if we face that world, what would you guys build some kind of fantasy game around in a world absent football? That's heartbreaking to say out loud, so I'm going to go drink a little bit while you formulate your answer.
I already have my answer, but I'm ashamed of my answer.
So wait, what is your first answer? Because I feel like I have an answer, but like I can't.
No, you go first, and then I will go after.
No, you say.
No, that. No, please. I have to go last.
Does that have to do with me?
No.
No,
not at all. You need to give your answer, Michelle.
I was like thinking like drinking Olympics games or something.
No,
It's like fantasy. No, you have to.
But you get represent. Fantasy points for.
Yeah, yeah. No, I could. We could do that, right? Like we draft like
people and yeah. like beer pong games and flip club, and you like you pick who's gonna win the most, and you score points off of that. Leave me alone.
Okay.
What was your great idea?
So as you guys know, I'm a nurse.
Oh my god, are you gonna say like people who die from COVID?
No. You psycho. No. Okay, so
as the theological expert here, there's nothing we can do for either one of you at this point. So. No.
Yeah, okay, all we can do is take another shot or something. So I was talking about this at work. I don't know, have you guys ever watched Orange is the New Black on Netflix?
I saw the opening episode, but I haven't followed it. Yeah.
This was a couple of seasons in. They started this sort of sideline plot of the show where some of the wardens in the prison did a fantasy draft of like the prisoners. So like every time the prisoners did certain tasks or did certain stupid things, like they would get fantasy points for them. I'm an outpatient nurse, so I work with kidney transplant recipients for pediatrics, and I have like a group of patients that I manage everything about their lives. Like anytime they call or whatever, I answer, and I know these kids inside and out, and they're the best kids in the world, but they are so dumb. And they're teenagers, a lot of them, and they do stupid things. So I said, like, what if we had this was just last week. What if we had a fantasy league where you drafted your patients, but like every time somebody forgot to get their lab work, you got points. And then like Michelle's giving me a crazy look.
Just don't get fired.
This is so nerdy.
Yeah.
But like,
I like my idea better.
But it's sort of like the ways that we know our patients. I feel like we could so play this game, and like I know these patients so intimately, and like my coworkers know their patients so intimately that I feel
But nobody else knows your coworkers, so how would you like us all to play?
You don't get to play.
How does the world get to play this new fantasy game? You're being selfish.
You guys aren't invited. Okay. Like it's more of an internal hospital.
It's just a work leak. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's a work leak. Okay.
Well, you guys, thank you so much for coming on, and we wish you absolute like the best, and certainly with your efforts this weekend and your marathon, and stay safe and happy as we go through these next few months. We'll keep a lookout for the Ball Blast podcast and certainly have some more dialogue on Twitter as we all get through this together. Goody, what do you got for us?
I just want to thank Michelle and Kate for joining us. It was very insightful. I've just kind of admired your ascension. Like I just kind of looked today and saw that I think you joined Twitter last year around this time, and just to see what you've accomplished just really shows what backing, you know, good opinions and good communication with actually doing the work and what that looks like, you know. And you know, obviously you have other jobs too that are impactful, you know, in your community. So I just have a lot of respect for you too. I've admired you from afar, and it's been cool to have you on, and it was also cool to follow you in the wee hours of the morning on the Scott Fishbowl 9 podathon. And, you know, I think like poor Luke on the East Coast, it was 4:30 in the morning. I think I just took a 2-hour nap and set my alarm and got up out here in Seattle. So, so we kind of saw you on that, followed you on that podcast in terms of time sequence. And now we have had you on as guest, and we're very grateful for you coming on, spent sharing an hour with us during, you know, this difficult time in this country. So thank you. All the best, and best of luck this weekend as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us on. Yeah, this is fun. And anytime we can talk about football, it's a good time. So if you have time for us to come on again next year, let us know.
Absolutely. And this has been another episode of All About Reality.